Yesterday we began to look over the top half of Beis Medrash, the beginning of the sugya of Keren here. We're going to take a look at a couple of small ha'aras in the sugya of Keren, and then we'll move forward probably tomorrow to open up some of the larger issues that flow from what Raj Tosfos and Rashba have to say about Keren the Chuver. There are a number of the small juicy morsels over the course of Beis Medrash. We spoke yesterday a little bit about Tosfos Tanna Rabbanan, and to appreciate the subtlety of Tosfos to say, I noticed last night that for the Maram Kamos, Tosfos Ben Paras makes it clearer that that's what Tosfos is driving at. The phrasing is a little bit different, so it becomes clearer that Tosfos is saying as well, Tosfos Ben Paras is a little more explicit about it. And the Gemara talks about, you remember that the Gemara spoke about the two Makoros for defining the term Negicha. We're seeking to understand what is this word Negicha that appears multiple times over the course of the Parshios Nizakin in Mishpatim. So the Braisa tells us that Bekaren, one Raya from Pasuk in Malachim, another Raya from Pasuk in Bezos HaBrach. The Pasuk of Sidka ben Kenana, Be'ilat Tinagaches Aram, and then the pasuk by the bracha of Yosef, the Chorosh Arahadra Lekarnir Em Karna Behem Amim Yinagach Arseyar Behem Yinagach. If you don't get with Karnir Em, again, it's still metaphorical, but the metaphor that Moshe Rabbeinu is using in that bracha is a metaphor of an animal's own organic horns. He has horns like a Re'im, and he's no get with them. And the Gemara wants to know, we read this out yesterday. So why do we need this second pasuk? What's the point of the second pasuk? The first pasuk seems quite adequate. What's the inadequacy in the first pasuk? The second pasuk is somehow closing that gap. The Gemara had a havamina, the Gemara had a maskana. So the Gemara's first suggestion was that maybe it's divrei Torah and divrei Kabbalah lo yalfina. Maybe divrei Torah and divrei Kabbalah lo yalfina. And the Gemara explained that's not relevant. So number one, just in terms of that terminology, Divrei Torah, Divrei Kabbalah, Lo Yalfinu. We're not going to learn Divrei Torah from Divrei Kabbalah. So what's Divrei Kabbalah? The Rashi says it's Nevi'im Utsuvim. It's a question he surveyed the fascinating Rabbi of Paris. It's an interesting insight. Well, why would we refer to Nevi'im Utsuvim as Kabbalah? More mystical? There's mysticism in Nevi'im Utsuvim. There's also mysticism in Torah. We don't mean that the Nevi'im Ktuvim are more dense with Torah's Hanister than Chumash. So what does it mean? So he sort of compares it to two pshatim. There is the most basic difference by those two pshatim is the most basic difference is the Rosh Hashanah, I think, points that in Shir from time to time. The most basic difference is whether I've been mispronouncing the word the whole time or not. The first approach understands that I have been mispronouncing words. It's not Divrei Kabbalah. What does the Ben Parrot say? Ben Parrot says, in the first approach, why are we calling Tanakh Divrei Kuf Beis Lamed Hei? He says, Divrei Nevi'im currently Divrei Kuf Beis Lamed Hei. Al Shem, why? Al Shem Shah Nevi'im Kovlim Vitzoakim Al Tsaros Hanuros Lachem Lahem Bachazon. They're crying out and complaining. In Sa'ok Yitzakilai, Yikavel Yikavel. But in Hebrew, it's to be kovel. There's a famous, to be kovel is to complain. To cry out, to complain. That's what the very famous quote from Rav Kook. I forget the exact phraseology, but it's a pair of three parallel phrases. It goes something like the following: Hatzadikim ha'yisharim einam kovlim el hara el mosifim or. The straight tzadikim, they don't spend their time complaining about the darkness, instead of spending their time adding light. einam kovlim el hara el mosifim tov. They spend less time complaining about evil and spend more time working to increase good. I think the third one is Enam Kovlim al Habarus al Mosifim Chachma. Instead of spending most of their time complaining about idiocy, they seek to grow the amount of wisdom in the world. To be kovel is to cry out or to complain. So the word, according to the first approach, is not Kabbalah, it is kevel. Because in Hebrew it's to be kovel, it's kal. Or, it doesn't mean lekabel, it doesn't do with reception. According to the first approach, it means divrei kabbalah. Nevi'im is mostly, Nevi'im and Ksuvim are mostly speeches. The parts of Nevi'im and Ksuvim that you learn in elementary school, and even in the early years of high school, tend to be mostly the narrative parts. You learn Nevi'im and Shonim, you learn the story of Yonah, you learn the Megillos, or some of the Megillos, you learn Esther and Rus. So those are stories. But most of Nevi'im and Ksuvim are not. Part of Yirmiyahu is narrative. Most of Yirmiyahu are lengthy, rich speeches. And the Nevi'im and Ksuvim are mostly divrei kevel. They're mostly challenging, demanding talks given by different Nevi'im and other figures in Tanakh. And then, he says, the other approach, it is kabbalah. It doesn't mean to receive. What do you mean to receive? What do you mean to receive? The way it makes it something fascinating. The footnote in the Sheet of Mekubetzes points out, if you look at Rashi and Chulin, he says it's Kabbalah to receive, meaning that the Nevi'im received their Nevuas from HaKadosh Baruch. But he says, and the problem with that is that is Divrei Torah, certainly Divrei Kabbalah. It doesn't seem like a way of describing Nevi'im Ksuvim as opposed to Chumash. Chumash was even more direct reception from HaKadosh Baruch. Nevuas Moshe was a higher level of Nevuah. That's one of the 13 Nevuahs. So Rabbi Peres presumably is seeking to address that. And what does the word mean such that, again, that's presumably the implied question. In what way are the Nevi'im and Ksuvim Kabbalah in a way that Torah is not? Torah is also received from HaKadosh Baruch. As a matter of fact, Torah is received from HaKadosh Baruch word for word, letter for letter. HaKadosh Baruch gave Moshe Rabbeinu a direct dictation. Moshe Megillah indicates Nevi'im did not have direct word for word dictation. The Gemara tells us, Ein shnei Nevi'im misnabim b'signon echad. No two Nevi'im will be misnabim the same signum. That's cognate to the English word signature. No two Nevi'im have the exact same style. Each Nevi'im has his own style. Why? To the extent that the Gemara indicates that if one Navi is being misnabe with the exact same style as a different Navi, that's an indication that he's a Navi Shaker, he's making it up. If it was authentic, he would not sound identical to someone else. He's trying too hard to copy. But authentic means that he did receive from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but unlike Nevuas Moshe, which is, as the Gemara describes, Aspakalaria Hami'ira, it's like looking through a transparent pane of glass, you see everything exactly as is. The Gemara describes the Nevuah of other Nevi'im as Aspakalaria She'ena Me'ira, a speculum that doesn't shine. What does that mean? I believe the Rama writes in Perush Rishayis, that means like frosted glass, like translucent but not transparent. You can make things out, but you don't see it with total clarity. Nevi'im got ideas. HaKadosh Baruch gave them a vision, HaKadosh Baruch gave them an idea, but then they would formulate it in their own. They got the idea, they got the vision, they interpreted, they saw what they saw, they got the message, but they would phrase it themselves. Which is why different Nevi'im are the different signonim, because each one was phrasing on his own. Moshe wasn't phrasing anything. He was just delivering exactly. So the Gemara said that HaKadosh Baruch was medaber mitoch grono shel Moshe. HaKadosh Baruch was speaking out of the throat of Moshe. HaKadosh Baruch was just giving over word for word, letter for letter, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, when he was giving the Nevuah of Torah. So the Nevi'im are Mekabel, but not Mekabel to the extent that Moshe was Mekabel. So that's presumably, that's the background to Tosfos Ben Peretz. What does Kabbalah mean such that it fits Nevi'im and Ksuvim more than Torah? So either it doesn't mean Kabbalah, it means Kabbalah. It means it's challenging speeches, challenging drushes. You have some of that in Chumash, but Chumash is mostly not that. Chumash is mostly either narrative or halach. Nevi'im and Ksuvim are predominantly Kabbalah. Or, he says, Kabbalah, but Kabbalah, the second approach, Kabbalah like the Rashi, but not their Makal from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, striking term, striking explanation. Shekulam kiblu nevuasa mimoshe Rabbeinu b'Sinai. They all received their nevuah from Moshe on Har Sinai. And he quotes the pasuk Yeshayahu, the presentation when the Sheet of the West is quoted in Paris, the end of it is clearer. And he points to the footnote here, there's some mistake in the Gersa. Look around Paris, it's a smoother, the Sheet of the West is his version of Paris, it's a smoother presentation. They quote the pasuk in Yeshayahu, where Yeshayahu is saying, I'm giving ideas that already go back to the earliest of days, the beginning of Jewish history. I'm giving you ideas that are from Moshe Rabbeinu. What does that mean? That they're all on the Sinai? So presumably it does not mean that Moshe Rabbeinu already got Sefer Yeshayahu word for word, letter for letter. It would definitely fly in the face of A, Yeshayahu being a Navi, and B, Yeshayahu being a Snabe, the signal of Shalom. What it presumably does mean, which Chazal expressed in other places, is that the Nevi'im were elaborating on ideas that already appear in, already implicit, but perhaps in less dramatic form, in the Torah. Now that idea of that second day of Rabbeinu Paris, if that's what he's saying, that actually speaks not only to how do you translate that word, it actually speaks to that question in a minute, it speaks also to sort of the larger topic of this piece of the sugya, because the divrei Torah, the divrei Kabbalah, lo yafina. The Gemara makes an assertion which goes unchallenged here, that we do not learn divrei Torah, meaning dinim daraisa, from divrei Kabbalah or Kabbalah. We will learn dinim daraisa from nevi'im mitzvim. And the truth is, it's a little bit striking that should be the case, for two reasons. Number one, we find that Divrei Kabbalah are very significant. There's a shita of the Ritva, not everyone agrees to this, but the Ritva is of the opinion, several places, one thing that strikes us as surprising about this, the Primogodim is a brilliant Akram, lived in the early 1800s probably, maybe late 1700s. He wrote a super commentary. He wrote a Perush on a Perush. He wrote a Perush on the main Perush on Shulchan Aruch. But they have, Taz and Magen Avraham, Taz and Shach, whatever is in Rashi Tosfos position, see, on much of Shulchan Aruch, Primogodim wrote running commentaries on them. Malei Charifas. In addition to the line by line, he also writes introductions. So he'll have sort of general introduction to Batzal Halal, a general introduction to Hilchos Pesach, where he ranges sort of a larger, bigger question. And then he has an even larger introduction to everything. Introduction to the sacred Prima Gadim, which he calls the Psicha HaKolelas, the general introduction, which is not really an introduction to Shulchan Aruch, as much as an introduction to like Judaism, or actually an introduction to Tarash Vapeh, the Tahalacha. In all sorts of ideas, he has five parts to Psicha HaKolelas. Each one is sort of this wide-ranging hakir, not like in the Rukhain sense of hakir. It's sort of a wide-ranging exploration of ideas. One of them is he catalogs all the people who have unique halach, all the types of individuals with a unique halachic status, and tries to like list off what all the unique things about a chedesh, all the unique things about a katzal, all the unique things about a suma, and so on and so forth. That's one of the five sections. The first section, I believe, is he tries to explain all the different levels of dinim. Like, there's Daraisa and there's Drabbanan, Daraisa and Drabbanan. He breaks it down, I believe, into six different levels. And he has different levels of Daraisa, depending. It can be Chomer, it can be Kal, depending on what the Onesh is, and so on and so forth. He talks there about differences between Torah and Shabbat. Are there ever halachic nafkaminas between a din that's Daraisa appears in Chumash, or a din that's Daraisa but does not appear in Chumash? Is there ever a chomer? He points out several Rishonim talk about nafkaminas lahalacha, between a din that appears in Torah Shabbat versus one that does not appear in Torah Shabbat, in terms of Kirtav and Torah, in terms of Onesh, a number of differences. And then another distinction he makes is between din of Daraisa, din Daraisa Chamurim, din Daraisa Kalim, you have Torah Shabbat Sabra, Torah Shabbat, then you have Drabanans. In between Torah Shabbat, Daraisa, and Drabanans, he has Divrei Kabbalah. He points out that Divrei Kabbalah is more Chamur than other dinim drabban. In other words, dinim drabban that appear in the Tanakh, not as in Daraisa, Megillah is different Kabbalah. And Mikra Megillah is different Kabbalah. Mishloach Manos is different Kabbalah. They're not deemed Darais. But if you assume that King Chalip is only Drabanan, then that's different Kabbalah. It appears in Megillah's Rus. If it's not Daraisa, but it appears in Tanakh, so the Rambam points out that there are sources that indicate there are nafkaminas between Divrei Kabbalah and just a plain Din D'Rabbanan that does not appear in Tanakh. For instance, according to many, Safik Divrei Kabbalah L'chumra. But the Rambam has a discussion about that in Pesach Halachos. If you're Masupik way they lay in Megillah, so she say Safik L'chumra because it appears in Tanakh? Wow, that's a pretty wild idea. Right? It's aligned a little bit. The Ritzvah has this idea that of asmachta, as I mentioned before, asmachta chashuva. If you have something that's in the ramuz in the Chumash or in Tanakh, the indication of an idea in the Tanakh, even if it's not an actual drasha, that indicates that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave his divine stamp of approval to this idea. So we understand. Divrei Kabbalah, it's a Din D'Rabbanan, the main to Tanakh. That means that there's a divine stamp of approval. It's not binding min HaTorah, but it's pretty serious. So why are we? You have to understand. If that's the case, the Taka was shot the different Torah for different Kabbalah and Athena. Why? The answer is the Gemara that you saw in the Masechet Megillah. The Gemara Darshans, the Poskim discuss whether the Gemara quotes a pasuk Eila HaMitzvos. There are two Eila HaMitzvos. There's more than one Eila HaMitzvos. There's at the end of Chumash Vayikra, at the end of Chumash Devarim. Question: which one? Well, maybe both. The Gemara quotes both. The Gemara quotes based on that pasuk you saw. Gemara Megillah that based on based on Gimel Aleph. Eila Hamitzvos Mikan She'ein Never Ashayil Chadash Torah Miyachad. Eila Hamitzvos teaching me these are the mitzvos. Torah says we went through a whole slew of mitzvos that Kadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu to teach the Kol Yisrael. And these are the way back to these mitzvos. I know it's superfluous possible. You just end. I understand. We kept saying by Davar Shalom Shalema. Obviously, these are mitzvahs that God taught Moshe. So what's the point of saying these are the mitzvahs Hashem taught Moshe? So obviously, the Gemara says it's meant to be a limitation. These, as opposed to others. The book is closed. Mikan she'ein never rashai l'charesh davar me'ata. That tells us an important rule, a halachic rule, a theological rule, that no subsequent navi can teach mitzvahs. And that's one of the Ikari Amuna. That is, I believe, number 8. Right? We reject the notion on its face that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would, through some subsequent Navi, change or abrogate the system of Halakha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught us mitzvahs through Moshe Rabbeinu, and he tells us in the Chumash that I do not plan to have ongoing halachic revelation. There will be ongoing revelation, there will be other nebuah, there will be another 1,000 years of nebuah, but not teaching new, not to change halacha. So the Gemara says, Chacham adif minavi. The Chacham is more powerful than the Navi in the halachic realm. The Rambam writes, talks about the very beginning of his introduction to Torah Shvatah, otherwise known as the Akadam of the Rambam Pirish Mishnayis, which is ostensibly a history of halacha. In the context of the history of halacha, he also discussed a lot of other important things. But in the context of the history, he says the most important turning point, so by now we had over 3,000 years of history of halacha, right? Mount Torah was over 3,300 years ago. Both the most critical, fundamental turning point, Rama writes, was 40 years in, the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. There were other changes later on, Kasimus HaTalmud and so on and so forth, but the most fundamental shift was Misas Moshe Rabbeinu. Because over the course of the lifetime, those 40 years, last 40 years of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, Kadosh Baruch Hu was transmitting Torah through Nevuah, through the unique level of Nevuah called Nevuah's Moshe Rabbeinu. With the death of Moshe, that was the end of halachic revelation. From that point on, the process, there continues to be creative process, but the creative process is intellectual. Creative process is using the tools of analysis that Kadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Bar Sinai, and Mishnah Torah and Drashas, and so on and so forth, the received Darkei HaLimud, to dig into the text of Chumash that we have, to dig into the body of Tarshal Peh that we already have, to expand more and to dig into the Chumash to find the additional nuggets of meaning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu left us to find. It's a discovery process. It's a discovery process, and it's an intellectual discovery process. Because you can't, Kadosh Baruch Hu told us in advance that we're not going to get Kiddushei to halacha through Nevuah. Rambam has very sharp language. He says something like, Mashayasu Yehoshua Upinchas Bi'ir HaHalacha Hushayasu Rabbeinu V'Rashi Bi'ir HaHalacha. Yehoshua was a Navi, and Rabbeinu V'Rashi were not. In terms of spiritual experience, they were very different. In terms of closeness to Sinai, they were very different. Yehoshua had learned directly from Moshe Rabbeinu for 40 years. But, in terms of how you analyze the din, it's the same process. Yehoshua could not use his prophetic capabilities to learn new din. That's why the Gemara Sanhedrin is trying to figure out, well, what's going on with these din in Yecheskel? Where'd they come from? It can't be the Yecheskel taught us them b'nevuah. You can't make up new din in b'nevuah. That's not available. That's why the Gemara says it must be a predated Yecheskel. It may just never have been committed to writing before. It was Torah Shabbat, and then Yecheskel records it. Chalip, but also maybe Torah Shabbat, and it appears in the story of Rus. Right? Or you have a din d'rabbanan that appears in Tanakh. But a Navi can't be mechadesh a new din b'koach nevuaso. That's why Divrei Torah and Divrei Kabbalah lo yafina. Divrei Kabbalah might be a record of a din that was b'masora, but it can't be the source for the because of the Eilah HaMitzvos, right? And that goes back, with this we close, to the second shot that the Rebbe Leibowitz has in Divrei Kabbalah. Kabbalah Moshe Mitzvah does not mean that they had word letter for letter. Moshe Rabbeinu already knew all of Sefer Yeshayahu, and Yeshayah had it. It had been passed down through the generation. Everyone had a Sefer Yeshayah, and finally there was someone born whose name was Yeshayahu ben Amoz, and he got up and gave the speeches from the book. No, what it does mean is that the Yesodos that Yeshayahu is giving expression to ideas that predate him. The content is already in Nevuah Moshe. Yeshayahu might give chizuk to keep Shabbos. Yeshayahu might tell us more about what was Torah Shabbat Peh about Shabbos, those who say in Tashim. But Yeshayahu is not being mecharish any dinim the koach nevuosa. And all the content, except for content which was temporary, all permanent content in Tanakh is already the content of it, though not the text, or the formulation, or the core content is Kabbalah, Moshe Mitzvah, and that shot in the second approach to Divrei Kabbalah.